Well, it's kind of a new season coming up, isn't it, a little bit? You know, next Wednesday is Valentine's Day, right, men? Fortunately for me and my wife, we celebrated it last year, so we're taking this year off. At least, unless I think that's right. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I better check that out. But no. Anyway, we're going to talk about relational living, about relationships, you know, because it's kind of on our mind a little bit. Whether you're married or single, whatever the case may be, relationships are, you know, very important on how we obtain them and how we maintain them, right? How we obtain a relationship, because sometimes they just don't happen. Sometimes they take a little effort, you know, to try to figure them out. And then also, what's even more work is keeping them going, right? Sometimes, have you anybody ever taken something for granted in life? And then it was gone. It happens, doesn't it? If we're not careful. So we can learn a few things about, you know, from God's Word. We're going to look at something here. But, you know, the art of relational living is one of the most important things that you and I probably need to master, you know, when it comes to dealing with other people. And the ability to make a good friend out of an acquaintance doesn't just happen by chance. And the old saying is saying it's not what you know, it's who you know, right? Sometimes it's about a relationship you have, one connection. One connection you have in life might get you to the next place, you know, that you need to be. And God did create us for connection. We're created for that. You know, the Bible says, you know, that we were not supposed to be alone. Adam was with God, and most of us say, well, that should have been good. Well, Adam was still missing a little something. He needed somebody else. And I think that's like that with us, you know, no matter where we're at in our, what season, you know, we're in, because there's different seasons of life, you know, and whatever that season is, sometimes you're alone, sometimes you're not, sometimes you wish you were alone, put my hand down, sometimes you wish you were not alone, right? There's that season sometimes, isn't there? That season does happen. And so we're going to explore, you know, some of these things and some of these principles today on relationships. We're going to look at our jumping off scripture. The only one we're going to major on today is found in Amos chapter 3, verse 3. Amos chapter 3, verse 3, and should be very familiar to some of you. It says, "Do two men walk together unless they have made an appointment?" Now, the Message Bible says, do two people walk hand in hand if they aren't going to the same place? And that kind of brings a little different picture, doesn't it? You know, we got to go to the same place, and that's really what a relationship's talking about. So let's open in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for Holy Ghost unction to be here today. We thank you for a special stirring in each of our hearts, Lord. We know that you're drawing us closer to you. Lord, we thank you today for the anointed worship that we had, Lord, that's brought us closer and closer into your presence. Lord, right now I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I use it for your glory. And Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we got to start somewhere, right? You know, you got to start somewhere in life. You know, I remember, see, I've been married so long, it's hard to remember all this stuff, you know, about being single. But I do remember a little bit about being single. You know, I remember that I wanted a relationship, even though I had some friends, you know, and stuff like that, but wanting that. And we're going to look at maybe marriage relationships a little bit, but we're not going to totally major on that today. But we're going to look at the idea of, you know, what I try to tell people, I mean, everybody I get an opportunity to when this comes up in the conversation, when I do marriage counseling or when I'm talking to the youth especially, I mean, a lot of them want a boyfriend or girlfriend. And I tell you, just try to be a friend first. Because if you can't be a friend, you know, it's going to be a problem down the line. So you got to try to build that kind of relationship, you know, and it's very important that we do that. Now, the Hebrew word here for appointment has two parts. It means to arrange and to meet. To arrange and to meet. And that means to get together beforehand and kind of plan some travel arrangements, shall we say, you know, about the trip that they're going to take together. So what happens, what I found out, is that assumptions can ruin a relationship. Have you ever made an assumption? You thought you knew what the other person was thinking, and you were wrong. I mean, it turned into a mess, maybe even. Because you assumed that they were going to respond this way, or they were going to, you know, answer this way, or they're going to act this way, or you guys were on the same page. And, you know, this is marriage, you know, in a nutshell sometimes. Is because, you know, sometimes we just look at things a little bit differently. And we assume that we're on the same page, but it's not always the case all the time. See, I don't know which one's worse, to be misunderstood or to misunderstand. Both things happen in relationships, right? Have you ever been misunderstood? You know, that's not what I meant. And then they say, well, that's what you said. Well, that's not what I meant. Well, that's what you said. That can go on for hours, right? It's kind of like Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck. You know, what's it? Duck season, rabbit season. You know, you just go back and forth, you know. And so those things kind of happen, you know. We get misunderstood. And then also, the idea of misunderstanding, having a false assumption about what somebody else said. You know, we misunderstood. And that's why, you know, you guys all know this. You guys are the smartest people in town. But there's some things you just shouldn't text. Have you learned that yet? Because the words in writing may get misunderstood from, you know, because you can't put really tone. I suppose you can put them all in caps or something like that. But, you know, but you get misunderstood. There's some conversations you just need to have in person. You know, and this will save you a lot of grief. You know, not to get involved in running the risk of being, especially if it's something very important. You don't want to have somebody misunderstand what you're really saying there. So, or you misunderstand what they were saying. Now, a little context what this was about. Of course, the nation of Israel was in trouble. They had fallen away from God a little bit. They kind of decided to do their own thing. So they were kind of going their own direction. You know, God was walking this way, shall we say, and they were going this way, or maybe they're going off at an angle. They considered themselves the people of God, but they didn't really want to follow God all the time. You know, they didn't want to do everything God said. You know, and that's just kind of how it rolled for them, and they got themselves in a little bit of trouble, and that's why Amos, as a prophet, came and said, hey, you know, can two walk together unless they agree? Meaning, you guys, you know, we need to get on the same page with God, and that's what it's talking about. But it's also saying the same thing sometimes in our relationships that we have with each other. Sometimes we neglect to keep them alive and keep them vibrant and keep them going the way that they need to be going. And, you know, we don't want to grow apart. We want to grow together, and that's very important. And as we do relationships, I want to throw in a couple little other things that sometimes we need to remember to put a boundary in a relationship. There needs to be boundaries, you know, in whatever that case may be, whatever that is for you. You know, you need to maybe have, you know, like those, when you're going around a corner on a road, you know, those guardrails, you know. Who wants to hit a guardrail? Nobody. But who wants to go over the side of the ditch? Which is worse, hitting the boundary or hitting the ditch? Think about that for a minute. So we need to have some guardrails sometimes in relationships, and you know, and sometimes, you know, the fact is, you know, trust has to be earned. That's just the way it works. And if you've broken a trust, you know, sometimes they should forgive me. Well, they might forgive you, but still you gotta kind of show the fruit. You know, you gotta have some fruit there. So put some boundaries in your relationships. It's very important. And you know, to me, there's always a starting point in every relationship. But sadly, in some relationship, there's an ending point. Some relationships come to an end. And that just happens, doesn't it? You know, people that growing up as a kid, I can remember that people were in my parents' life weren't there all the time. I thought that was odd. You know, I didn't understand, but then as I got older, I found out maybe a misunderstanding or a disagreement maybe happened between them. And so, because they maybe had kids my age, and I went, hey, why aren't we hanging with them? You know, so those things do happen. Sometimes they're ending to some relationships. And some relationships, without going into it too deep today, need to be ended. If somebody's being very toxic in your life, and those things have happened, and they don't seem like they want to change, or they say they'll change, and then they don't change, well, then maybe you need to do something about that and stop the relationship. Okay, now, we're going to take it on some good news here. How do you build a relationship? Well, sometimes we may need to initiate things. Now, some of you are very outgoing, I know that. You're the life of the party, man. Other people more laid back, you know, and they're more thinkers. I'm more laid back in my personality, I believe. But, you know, sometimes if you want something, you got to initiate it. So I remember, you know, I picked up and I moved from Albion. I went to Denver for 9 years. Well, going out there, I didn't really know anybody. Matter of fact, I knew nobody. So I could just sit around and, you know, be lonely. I mean, I had some friends I went with, but, you know, primarily it was up to me to initiate things. I had to initiate it. I sought people out that I thought would be good candidates. I mean, I know this sounds kind of weird, but I thought for what I want to do, I want to change my life. I'll just put it right there. You know, I was living a certain way. I didn't want to live like that no more. So I left what I have here. And now next week, everybody will be gone from church because they're leaving. But I left what I have here and I went out there, but I didn't want to repeat that. You know what I'm saying? So I had to do something different. So my idea, and you know, I have a 12th grade education, is I went to a church. Why? Because hypothetically, most people there are seeking after God, and I knew that's what I wanted to do. But anytime you come into a church, you know, you may not know anybody. It may take a little time. So you take advantage of certain opportunities to leverage those things to get to know other people. Right. And when we do that, we start to build relationships. We start to find people in our life or that we have some commonality with, and then we can start to do things. But somebody has to make the first step. You know, the old saying, you know, to have friends, you got to be friendly, right? This is the way it is. Sometimes we got to be friendly. Now, if you have a porcupine personality, you know, you need to be careful, right? You know what a porcupine personality is? Somebody's kind of prickly, you know. They're the person you never text. You want to talk to them in person because they'll misunderstand, right? They'll misunderstand everything you're saying. You'll share a scripture with them and you text it to them. Oh, you think I have a problem in this area? No, just sharing a scripture, you know? Just kind of, so I wasn't meaning nothing by it. But no, you got to be friendly. We got to try to be friendly. And you can. You can be friendly. It may have to work at some of these things. You know, maybe you're kind of skeptical, you know? And, you know, sometimes, you know, when you meet other people, you know, you want to do things together. You know, hey, how about somebody come up to you and said, you know, you want to talk? This is why you have to make a plan. You have to be in agreement where you're going. Let's say you meet somebody new here at church and they say, hey, how would you like to do something fun? And you say, sure. And you're thinking bowling. They're thinking skydiving. Well, you know what I mean? I mean, you got to talk. You need to ask some questions about these things, you know, to make sure, you know, you're kind of on the same page. And, you know, if we want to make sure, we need to do that if we want to make sure we get to the same destination. Now, one thing about jumping out of a plane, it is one way, right? It's all down. I remember that. So, to do that, we need to make sure that we're going the same direction. It's just very simple. And hopefully, you know, as Christians, in a Christian environment, for the most part, we're all heading the same direction. We may have different things the way we do it, for whatever reason, but you know, we're heading towards God. And to me, other than being married, the best fellowship there is Christian fellowship. You know, because I've done all the fellowships there is. You know, I'm old, and I've tried a lot of different fellowships, different styles, you know, and I have found that Christian fellowship is the best fellowship because, number one, it glorifies God, and as we glorify God, and we edify ourselves and we build each other up. That's what it should be. Amen? Amen. And so hopefully you feel that here, that we're trying to build you up and not tear you down, because that's not our intention. And, you know, things in life sometimes get a little harder, and, you know, sometimes, like I said, if it's toxic, you know, you don't want to put yourself in a dangerous situation and things like that. But let's say you're in a situation and the relationship is salvageable. And I just want to throw this out. You know, we need to figure out sometimes why we got to the place from where I say I do to I don't anymore. You know what I mean? There's things in the that has happened. You know, sometimes they can be fixed. Most of the time, a lot of times. Those things can be fixed in the relationship. And there's things you can do to safeguard. I'm just going to throw this out. I know I got it later on in the message. But, you know, you want to try to make sure, if you can, try to grow together, you know, and grow in Christ together. And we just had a great discussion about this with some other people. I did the other night. And about, you know, dating Christians or dating sinners. You know, Christians shouldn't date somebody unsaved. I know that narrows down the pool a little bit, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, in the long run, it just works better if you follow Christ and you get somebody you can build that relationship with, and we'll go into that a little bit more. So the idea of how important that is. And what happens sometimes is that, you know, in America, and I know it's around the world, is the fact that sometimes we emphasize the physical connection before we develop the mental and emotional connection. You know what I mean by that? You know, physically, you know, and this is a little bit about marriage and dating here, this part of it, but, you know, the idea of, you know, you may think somebody looks good to you and you have that physical connection and you act on that and you get that physical connection going, and then, you know, sometimes it's gonna come back and be harmful, because what happens with the physical connection is that it'll only last until the next attractive thing catches you or the other person's eye. And that's what happens if we don't develop the right things emotionally and spiritually with somebody. Because what you find out is the fact that, have you ever been in a relationship and then the things that drew you to that person all of a sudden maybe doesn't anymore? You know, maybe you thought it was cute that they used to slurp their soup. But now you don't. Now you can hardly sit down and have a meal with them. You know, that sort of gets on your nerves. And, you know, you used to just love. Man, you're so laid back. Just love it that you're laid back. Well, now they're lazy. Right? What's changed? Just the way you grew. You're with them a long time. I just love it how, you know, when you're dating, I just love it how you take charge. Well, now you're bossy. See? Same person, same way. You're doing it. I mean, you haven't changed a bit. But, you know, is this witnessing to somebody right now? You know what I'm saying? So those things kind of happen. So how do you negotiate how to work through those? Well, you know, the thing we need to do is, if, you know, if we build the mental, emotional connection, we'll build a connection that will never be broken. So that means you need to have conversations. That means you have to, you know, maybe open up a little bit and talk about some things and have those things and say those things that sometimes just needs to be said, but sometimes we hold them in. So now my wife and I, we're opposites, but, you know, opposites may attract, but opposites need to find common ground. You know, we need to find common ground, you know, in everything that we do. Got to find some common ground, especially if you want to build a life with somebody and to be able to accomplish, you know, the things that God wants us to do, because relationships need to be intentional. We got to try to step out and try to build those things and do it, because healthy relationships, you know, just don't happen by chance, and they all take a lot of work. So building a healthy relationship is risky because it makes ourselves vulnerable. And this is where we're going to get a little deeper here. You know, vulnerability, what does that mean? You know, do we keep people away when we talk, or do we let them in? You know, and you have to make that kind of decision now. I would not probably let everybody in close. Jesus has his inner three. I mean, it's just kind of, you want to be careful and choosy. But, you know, if you want to go deep in a relationship, you're going to have to start to communicate and to try to get some sort of connection that's there. You know, just like if you have only a connection, you know, in something you do. Let's say you're on a bowling team. Well, these are my bowling buddies. Well, you're there and you just bowl and whatever, and then you never really, a lot of times they don't talk about real stuff, maybe, I don't know. But let's just say you see that person outside of the bowling deal. Well, you ain't really got nothing to talk about unless you talk about bowling. You know, now when it comes to our closer relationships, especially those in marriage or in a church atmosphere, you know, we need to have some people that we can talk to. Hopefully you have some go-to people. Hey, I'm going through something right now. I need some prayer. Well, how does that happen? Because you made yourself vulnerable and you found somebody that you trust that you can talk to, you know, and hopefully, you know, you're a type of person that have made yourself vulnerable, but also you can keep a confidence of somebody else when they come to talk to you about something. You know, because that's how relationships get stronger, and, you know, because they can get a little messy. So now we're going to look at the idea of be able to enjoy the journey together. As Amos kind of said there, you know, they were heading somewhere. Hopefully you're going somewhere. Hopefully you have a destination in mind where it is you want to get to. You know, a lot of times, unless we have a plan, things don't work out. Now, we can just go through life and, you know, eat and sleep and whatever and go through life. But then, you know, life goes by too fast. So what is it you want out of life? What kind of relationships would you like to build? Because if you get the right persons and people in your life, you're going to be stronger. You're going to be a better version of yourself. How do you know this? Because I didn't do it early enough. You know, I never maybe sought out some of the relationships as I look back in life that I wish I would have sought out and brought into my life that would have made me a better version of me. Because we think we can do it all alone, but we can't. We weren't created that way. You know, we were created for connection. We were created for that type of relationship. And so when we go on a trip together, You know, on the trip, you find out about things. Has anybody ever went on maybe a trip with somebody they knew, but they weren't that close with? And on the trip, man, did you find out some things about that person that you know, it just shocked you maybe in some way. You know, maybe you didn't know they had a short fuse till they get traffic. You know what I'm saying? They get in some heavy traffic and all of a sudden, boom, you know, where'd that come from? I used to love you because you was laid back, you know, but now you're not laid back at all. No. You know, so the journey that we go on with somebody is revealer. It reveals things. And here's a couple things. Number one, it reveals some things about ourselves when we go on a journey. We have issues, right? Everybody has issues. I found out as a pastor, and I know this for a little bit, but if we say we don't have issues, then we have an issue called denial. Right? Everybody has a problem. And don't take it personally. That's just the way it is. We all have little quirks and things that are in our life that are sometimes just a little bit weird. And it takes a special person to be able to accept us like that, right? In all our quirks, you know, in the things that we have. So, you know, we find out we have issues, and that's good. Some of those things are brought to the light. You know, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. So when you rub these things together, they get cleaner. It rubs off the rough edges. And so that's what happens. You know, when we are with somebody, they can help us rub off the rough issues. Blah, blah, blah. A lot of R's there for me. So then also, as well as revealing about us, usually we pick up on this first. It reveals stuff about the other person because we're not really looking in the mirror, right? We're looking at them. And so we reveal, you know, they have some issues. They have some issues in life. And, you know, those things are we going to, because the more time we spend with someone, you know, to me, the more real it gets. You know, like in marriage, you know, you're past the honeymoon time and it's getting real right now. You're starting to understand some things about the other person and how important it is that we go through those processes and start to build that. And maybe you help them and maybe they help you. Now, there is some benefits, some may say, if I just do it alone. See, it's less hassle to travel alone, but it's also less rewarding. You know, when you travel by yourself, you can eat where you want to eat, and you can go and see what you want to see. Don't have to ask anybody anything, but you're alone. You know, sometimes, you know, I remember, this is just a picture in my head, it's hard to get rid of. I remember one time we went out with another couple, and they were kind of undecisive, you know. And I don't really mind where I eat that much, but you know, we drove probably 15 miles through Denver on I-25 trying to pick a restaurant. Just kept driving. I said, dude, are we going to turn around sometime? We're starting to leave town here, you know? I mean, what's going on? Well, I don't know if I want that. I don't know if I want that. It would have been easier to eat alone that day. I do know that. You know, that's one meal I would have liked to have eaten alone. But, you know, but the fellowship and the camaraderie that you get, you know, with somebody else, you know, that's also very important. Also, what happens is that in time you get in kind of one of these relationships is that, you know, selfishness, you know, will be revealed when we go on this journey. How many finds out that, you know, sometimes when you're with somebody else, you just can't do everything you want to do? You know, sometimes you got to make some concessions along the way and be able to keep the peace, because that selfishness, you know, when I was single, you know, I've shared this before, I really thought I was a very spiritual person. I did. I mean, I could quote scripture up one side and down the other. I mean, I don't say this too many times, but I thought I was about perfect. You know? I knew the word, and I treated people good. But in my mind, I was a little off, wasn't I? You know, then when something fateful happened, I got married. And I found out that I wasn't that spiritual, because I was a little selfish. Because I always liked to do it my way. I liked to eat where I wanted to eat. I wanted to go see what I wanted to see. But then I got married, and when we were dating, she said she went and ate what I ate, and she went and saw what I saw. But after we got married, that changed. All of a sudden, she got an opinion somewhere. No, I'm kidding. I'm teasing. No, she always had an opinion. But, you know, so then we have to work on this. We have to work on these things, right? You know, because I read that scripture that said, you know, if you have strife in your marriage, just kind of paraphrase, your prayers are going to be hindered. Man, I don't want to spend all that time praying then it not work because I has a bad attitude towards my wife, you know. So I knew I had to kind of, you know, fix this relationship thing, you know. I mean, we were married, everything was fine, but I wanted to be better, because I knew we could be better, because I've looked at other people and they looked like they were doing a lot better than I was. You know what I mean? Have you ever, you know, those people have like a real good marriage and very kind to each other, and I knew it was possible. And so that was an inspiration to me. So that helped me to want to change. And so I knew that even though I had a legal paper that said I was married, I knew I didn't have the relationship that God wanted me to have. So I had to do something about it. You know, I'm the man, I'm supposed to be the head of the house. Right. So, amen. So I had to do something. I had to change me and quit trying to change her. I'm preaching to somebody right now because this is nowhere in my notes. You know, just think about that. You need to change you and quit trying to change the other person. Amen. And that's going to go a lot better. Okay, so, you know, when we go with somebody, it stretches us and we learn how to compromise. Like I said, you know, my wife and I got married, and it's just amazing to me. See, my wife and I read from the same Bible translation, New American Standard. We read from the same Bible translation, go to the same church, vote for the same candidate, sleep in the same bed, eat primarily the same food, but we see things very differently. And that still amazes me. But there's the rub on the sense of different personalities coming together and being able to do that. And, you know, and I think it's good, you know, from a spiritual standpoint, if we are around people that's not exactly like us, you know what I mean? That maybe you're around somebody that just believes doctrinally a little bit different, but, you know, maybe has different personality traits, because that's so good, because when you blend together and you start to work on each other, it does. There's a blending there, and it's very good. And really, that's what made our country great. You know, when it was started, there was such a blending of different nationalities. And everybody, the people that came here were usually the bravest of the brave and the fittest of the fit to be able to do the transportation and everything they had to get here. that, you know, we really benefited from that, and they made our country great. And so that's just awesome, I think. So to do that, and quitting with this is, you know, the idea we need to deal with some selfishness in life. And we may come back to this a little bit. So some golden rules in relationships, you know, it has to be both ways. It's just not about me, instead of being, it's just not about me. You see, what I say by that is the fact that, you know, I know we've said it's not about you or whatever the case may be, but, you know, sometimes we have to understand in a relationship it has to be about both people. It has to be about both of you. So you just can't be a doormat. You can't be doing all the heavy lifting or all the lifting, you know, in a relationship, you know, to make that work. Now, sometimes when the other person's down, you may have to do more of the lifting. That's normal. But you can't maintain that for your whole life. You know, it's not really fair. You know, so you have to make sure both parties need to understand that we need to come into this and we need to both, you know, do our part. And it's about both of us. You know, like I said, we can't just go together. We need to grow together. It's important that we understand that concept. And what I think is very good, if you could always remember this, is that we need to build a sense of shared purpose. If you and your friends, if this is just a basic relationship or if this is with a marriage, you need to build a sense of shared purpose together. You want to have purpose together. Like my wife and I, we want to build the kingdom of God. That's pretty simple. That's what our vocation is, that we want to do. But finding that and we build that together and we do everything we can to attain that. Now, let's say you don't feel, you know, that you're a pastor, but, you know, maybe something else, but still husbands and wives can build a, you know, a sense of shared purpose. You know, the idea of raising spiritual kids, you know, raising them in the church and not letting them, you know, making sure, like we had a policy at our house, just the way it is, you live in this house, you go to church, that's it. You know, don't like it, move. Well, they're all gone now, but that's okay. It was time to move out. They were old enough. But anyway, when you were in school, that's just the way it was, you know, because, you know, and they didn't mind it totally. I mean, it was good. But, you know, the idea of, you know, that's just some things that my wife and I, we have a shared purpose that we want to do. We want to be, you know, kind to people, try to help other people. You know, we don't want to just, you know, get what we don't want to just get things for ourselves, but we like to share. We like to pass them along to other people. Be blessed to be a blessing. I mean, that's a shared purpose. You know, so whatever it is, but try to find some common ground, you know, with that. Like I mentioned earlier, iron sharpens iron. You know, in doing that, you rub the two metals together and they get real shiny. So we need to learn how to disagree without making it personal. That's a job, ain't it? I mean, there is a way to have a good fight or a good disagreement. Let's word it that way. But sometimes we make it personal. You know what I'm saying? We just, you know, bless God, I'm right, you're not wrong, and that's just the way it is. Why can't you see it the way I see it? You know? You know, what benefit is it if we win the argument, but we lose the relationship? It's not all about winning, is it? Especially in a relationship you want to keep. It's not about winning that argument. It's about trying to find some commonality, some common ground. But in the heat of that, it's hard to remember that, isn't it? It's so hard. You know, but thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen? You know, Book of Psalms back in the back there, it says, you know, Holy Spirit set a guard over my mouth. Yes. If you're the type of person that just shoots off the mouth all the time, ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Because I found it's, you know, I purposely like this better for me. I would rather keep my mouth shut than have to say I'm sorry. How many would prefer that if you could? I mean, saying you're sorry is okay. I mean, you can, but I'd rather not have to say it because I didn't say it, right? You know, try to keep it in check a little bit. So, when we walk in that kind of agreement, no one's behind and no one's ahead. we're out walking together. So in closing, we're going to do some application things here, and then we'll be done. So like I said, every relationship has a starting place. And when you're in a relationship, don't compare a new one to an old one. Don't compare a new relationship to an old one, because that'll sabotage it in the beginning. You know, Kaylee and I do a podcast together, Dad and me, and she said something, it's true, but I mean, it's easy, you know. I do know this for a fact. Of course, I'm not a grandparent yet, but I do believe I'd be a better grandparent than a parent. I do believe that. Amen. I've got experience. I've been through some things. I've made some mistakes along the way. You know, so, and I'm not so intense about things. You know, so that's apparent. And so it'd be easy for her to compare other men to me where I am at now. Well, that'd be tough. I'm just kidding. But if you compared me when I was in my 30s to them, I mean, they would win hands down. Because I wasn't a sanctified, you know what I'm saying? Set apart. So, but don't compare in relationships. Take them on face value. You know, remember that the journey is as a place of learning about yourself and about others. Also, always deal with selfishness. You know, we all have it. And remember this, we're going to find faults, but don't be a fault finder. You know the difference? Have you ever known a fault finder? Have you ever been a fault finder? Come on now. You know, somebody just looks for faults and finds faults in everything. That's not good. But you're going to find faults in life, and be ready for that. You know, strengthen what you agree upon instead of only seeing the differences in life. And, you know, one of the gifts that God's given me, for whatever reason, is that I don't get too intense on judging people. I just see the good in people for the most part. I mean, you got to really prove me wrong for I'll kick you to the curb. You know what I'm saying? And I just, for whatever reason, have never had any issues in that area. Maybe it's because I know where I came from. So I know that you can start, you know, being pretty far away from God and get where you need to be. So we need to try to do that with other people, not be judgmental. And don't be afraid to express your feelings and expectations in any relationship. That's where it comes to boundaries and defining things. It's very important that you do that. So, closing, communication is the key to unlocking the potential of any relationship. So learning how to communicate, how to say things in a way. And I'm still working on this by far. I mean, my tone's still messed up. At least that's what my wife tells me. I don't know. But I'm trying to get better. I really thought about it, you know, and I'm really trying to get better on that. Because I don't mean nothing by it, but my tone is a little more intense, you know. Let's get her done. Let's go right now, right? So I'm trying to chill a little bit and do it in a way, you know, that maybe is a little more palatable, you know. So communication is the key. All right, let's close in prayer.